Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
That's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Monday, May 22nd. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on the Feast of St. Rita of Cassia. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and our studio producer, Gabby Burke, in for Sarah, who is off today. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday morning. I hope you had a great weekend and were able to celebrate the Feast of the Ascension of the Lord with your family and loved ones. Saturday was a special day in the Morales family. My mother, Margarita, the matriarch of our family, celebrated her 95th birthday. Can't begin to tell you what a blessing it is that she's still with us. She lives at the Little Sisters of the Poor in Chicago, and we are just, again, just counting our blessings. She's been a longtime fan of Relevant Radio, and if it weren't for her devout faith and her love of the Blessed Mother, I probably wouldn't be hosting this show with you here this morning. We call her Mima. Mima Margarita, we love you. Now, today is also day four of the traditional Pentecost novena to the Holy Spirit. Each day, we pray for an increase of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This morning, we're going to ask for the gift of knowledge, which directs the soul to judge the things both human and divine according to supernatural common sense and not according to the standards of the world. I want to bring in our news anchor, Glenn Leverins. Glenn, what are some of the stories that are making headlines on this Monday morning?
Well, folks in Washington got about a week and a half to get their act together so the U.S. doesn't default by the 1st of June, but it looks like there might be some progress on the plane trip back from the G7 summit in Japan. President Biden spoke with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, and they made some progress. The president tweeted that he's set to propose over $1 trillion in spending cuts, but Republicans will have to compromise some on their demands as well. So those talks will be ongoing, John.
Glenn, we've seen this movie before.
Yes,
it gets down to the wire. It looks like it's not going to happen, and it always seems to happen. So do we have any doubt that they will somehow figure out a way to come together before June 1st?
You know, I've seen that movie, too, I think all the way back on Super 8 home movies as well as VHS and everything else. And so I do feel pretty good that we'll get there one way or the other.
Another story involving the governor of North Carolina.
Yeah, the Republican legislature in North Carolina overrode a veto of a 12-week abortion ban in North Carolina. So that is going into law now. The Democratic governor was on Meet the Press on NBC, Roy Cooper, not happy about that. But, you know, that's the case with a supermajority of Republicans voting pro-life in the North Carolina legislature.
12 weeks, by no means is that extreme. What was his argument, Governor Cooper?
Well, just kind of the straight anti-life line that, you know, women's health care, as they're calling it, should be unfettered. Now, we are seeing, from a political standpoint, a lot of Republican legislatures that are able to pass some abortion legislation trying to make that number at 12 weeks that still allows many, many, many abortions. It's not the total ban that, of course, so many would love to see, but, you know, others who believe in incremental steps, that is happening.
Meanwhile, in the NBA conference finals, they could be over sooner than we think.
Yeah, over the weekend, game three went the way of the teams that had two-game leads. So now with a win over Boston yesterday, Miami is up 3-0. Eastern Conference Finals resume tomorrow night. Tonight could be all over for Anthony Davis and LeBron James and the Lakers, the powerful Nuggets winners on Saturday. They're up 3-0. Their game four is coming up tonight, and that would set up the NBA Finals set to start on Friday the 2nd. So they'd have a little break if they finish early. Hockey, meanwhile, powering through as well with two-game-to-none lead in the West for the Vegas Knights over Dallas, as well as the Florida Panthers over Carolina.
The old adage in both that goes for the NBA and the NHL, it's not over till it's over. In fact, getting that last win to win a series, to get to a championship final is always the most difficult.
Always tough, always tough. There is that NBA stat, though, that in Game 7 series, or best-of-7 series, a team that has gone up 3-0, He's never lost. The record's like 149-0. So looking tough for the Lakers as well as the Celtics.
As always, Glenn, really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Hey, sure thing, John.
First things first, we always start every single morning, always in prayer, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, always keeping in mind that every day is a blessing, and we always pray through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Morning Air Show. Our email, if you want to reach us directly with any thoughts or story ideas, it's morningair@relevantradio.com. And our number this morning, if you want to be part of the conversation, it's 888-914-9149. Now, this morning we're going to talk about your eyes. Our blessed Lord Jesus himself said, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. When was the last time that you had a vision test, an eye exam? I can tell you firsthand that I am close to needing one. In fact, it's on the agenda here in this summer now. Perhaps you may need glasses, or maybe all of us need glasses to one extent when it comes to our spiritual vision. Joining us live this morning from the Chicago area is Dr. Thomas Conti for much more on good vision and our spiritual vision. Dr. Conti is a board-certified eye physician and surgeon with fellowship training in oculoplastic and reconstructive surgery. He's a graduate of Ohio State University, where he went on to receive his medical degree from Wright State University School of Medicine in Dayton, Ohio. He's completed his ophthalmology residency and fellowship training at the McGill University Medical Center in Montreal, Canada. He's also a former professor of eyelid plastic and reconstructive surgery at the John Storger Hospital of Cook County. He sees patients in private practice in Tinley Park and Niles, Illinois, which is suburban Chicago. For much more about his practice and his services, you can visit his websites, IllinoisOculoplastic.com and MyLids.com. Dr. Conti and his wife, Francesca, have 8 children, and it is her birthday today, so happy birthday to Francesca. Good morning, Dr. Conti. Thank you so much for joining us. It is a joy to be with you.
Good morning, John. It's been a little while, but I'm glad that we can reconnect.
It really has been a while. In fact, I know that back in the earlier days of Relevant Radio, you used to be quite a regular contributor, especially to Wendy Weiss's show.
That's right. Yeah, I was fortunate to be able to join her on a more semi-regular basis, and we had a lot of great conversations about eyes and spiritual eye health, and I think we helped quite a few patients, and I certainly was helped by the many prayers and joys that show brought. Wendy did a fantastic job.
Well, thank you, Dr. Conti. Appreciate you being up with us here bright and early to talk about eye care, which is something that so many of us can forget. And why is it so important to take care of our eyes and our physical vision? We'll talk about the spiritual vision in a moment.
Right. Well, I mean, I think it's been listed many a time where the greatest fear, I think second to public speaking, which is interesting, but the greatest fear that most people have and then resonate is the fear of losing one's vision. And in just a simple incident, you can close your eyes and try to walk through your own house just to do simple tasks. It makes life very, very difficult. So in our practice as eye care physicians, we really have a lot of important insight in how to keep that vision very healthy, and there are so many diseases that can affect the eye, and they usually affect the eye silently, meaning that one doesn't really know it's happening. There isn't an ache or a pain or a sudden change. It happens sometimes very slowly and sometimes very quickly, but a lot of times without any sign of pain. These types of things include the diabetes, the high blood pressure, cataracts, glaucoma. Most all of them have very little symptoms. So seeing a physician to examine the eyes is very important, because one would not even know if there is a change in one's vision or inside the eye without having the doctor look in. So it requires not just one's own introspection on, hey, how are my eyes doing? It takes a physician to look inside that great, fantastic eyeball, which was made so beautifully by the hand of God. So in our practice, we take that very seriously. I am a general ophthalmologist by training, but went on to do eye care specialty for eyelids, for lid cancers and reconstruction around the eyelids. And so patients will come in with what they think is sometimes a very innocuous complaint, but it's a very disturbing one, because we use our eyes for everything. It'd be like having a rock in your shoe all day long with some of the eye care complaints, you know, an itchy, crusty, watery eye that just won't go away, and it won't allow us to do things such as simple as driving or computer work or taking care of one's loved ones without this constant irritation. So after having tried many different products or issues, they will come to the eye doctor to find out that they have a concern with a seemingly innocuous complaint, but it could end up being something very serious. And without that visit to the doctor, they wouldn't have known. So we take that very seriously, and have just really been able to counsel a lot of patients with that through using simple products, soaps to wash. And I had sent a little story, you know, in regards to one of the scriptural readings about how Jesus washes the eye of the blind man and he's able to see better. And I you know, in my profession, I cannot help approaching each patient as an opportunity to help them see more clearly, both physically and spiritually.
Well, Dr. Conte, there's no doubt that taking care of our physical eyes is so important. Like you said, things can happen in a moment. You don't even realize it can happen so quickly. I remember about 10 years ago, I ended up with a torn retina out of nowhere with no warning whatsoever. Next thing you know, I needed laser surgery to correct it. And thanks be to God, it was fixed, and my vision is pretty good to this day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have so many new technologies and techniques that, in years gone by would have left somebody with permanent vision loss, but now with rapid intervention can be treated. Probably you had that treated maybe in the office or within a day or so of having that problem. It's a fantastic career. It's one that I take very, very responsibly, because you're dealing with people in a very precious time in their anxiety levels. I mean, very few things will motivate somebody to do something if there's a threat, such as diabetes, you know, the blood sugars, that's not too anxiety provoking sometimes, but boy, if they feel like there's something fearful about losing their sight, they're knocking on your door and calling their phone that same day. So it's a very, very spiritually invoking part of the body, for sure.
How gratifying is it for you to really be representing the divine physician when you've helped your patients so many times over the years? You know that God is working through you as his instrument.
Right. I honestly, every time I have a compliment about, wow, you've really helped, or you really did this, I don't hesitate to say I borrow from the great Saint Mother Teresa. I said, I'm a mere pencil in the hand of God. So what I can do and what I've been trained to do is merely pass along what I've been given through the Holy Spirit, through my talents, through my colleagues who have aided me. I feel I owe that all to those great people of the past who advanced our profession. If I can have contributed a little bit more to it, I'm blessed, but I give all my honor to the Holy Spirit, to God, to giving me talents that I can use to reach out daily to helping patients.
Well, Dr. Conte, there's so many references to vision and blindness and our eyes in Scripture. I started out our segment by quoting one from Jesus about the eye being the lamp of the body. Can you share with us just the beauty of some of these passages that bring to our attention, sight and blindness and light and you know, the relationship with either having or not having faith?
Yeah, the one I pointed to, which I was struck by, and I come to a lot in my career, is in chapter 9, passage 1 through 41. I'm just going to read briefly from it. It's in regards to the man born blind. I mean, it starts, "As he passed, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him.' We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can do work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." So I interpret that greatly as the ability for us to regain our holiness in spiritual sight with the sacrament of confession. And I am always awestruck myself how much more clearly I am able to function and to see and to hear God's call after having received that beautiful sacrament of confession. And I think the Lord here is inviting us to meet him in the divine sense of his physicianship through that sacrament, and also through through holiness in reading and scripture. I think that's just such a wonderful place to begin, is to go see the Lord in his sacrament of confession. We all will benefit visually, spiritually from that sacrament.
No question about it that all of us could use the sacrament of joy, the sacrament of confession to wash our spiritual eyes. It's a great reminder. Dr. Conte, we have a caller joining us this morning up and early from California. Neon is with us. Good morning. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Dr. Tom Conte. Neon, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Welcome to the show. You're on with Dr. Tom Conte.
Okay, thank you, guys. So, listen, I lost my sight little by little. Like, I think I have high blood pressure, and I think I have glaucoma, and I lost little by little my sight. Is there any cure for somebody that lost their sight because of glaucoma?
Yes, absolutely. There's treatments for that condition. It does require, again, a visit to the eye doctor to very specifically say that it is caused from that. The eye itself has many different layers and many different functions, so any one of them could go wrong. It's kind of like a car. Why is my car not working? It needs to be looked at as an entirety and then taken apart and look at each piece individually. So high blood pressure, diabetes, glaucoma, cataracts, they're all individually potential problems for losing one's sight. But have you seen an eye physician yet?
Well, the lady says, "Oh, you have a heavy cataract, so I cannot see what's inside. So, but I suspect it's glaucoma because my family suffer from diabetes and high pressure, so I suspect it's glaucoma."
Correct. That is a possibility, but having somebody tell you that heavy cataracts are there makes it even difficult for the doctor to look in. So a cataract is the number one surgery done to help vision, and it's a very, very safe, and I would have that looked upon first, because when you remove that cataract, now you will see more light coming into the eye, and the doctor can see into your eye even better. So that would be a starting point. Have they recommended something like that?
Yeah, but my question is, what let's say they find out that I have glaucoma. What is the procedure for you guys to fix my sight, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, glaucoma is a silent stealer of vision, meaning that the pressures are too high. So that can be treated with eye drops most of the time, occasionally with laser. But it's treating something most accurately. And if the window cannot be seen through clearly, which is the kind of the cataract blocks the view both for you and the doctor, so that would help make your diagnosis and your treatment plan more accurate.
Okay, thank you so much, then. Thank you so much. Okay, God bless you.
You're welcome.
God bless you, Neon, and I hope that Neon gets help right away and goes sees a professional eye doctor. Dr. Conti, here in our final moments that we have, we're coming up on the solemnity of Pentecost this coming Sunday. How can we ask the Holy Spirit to help us with our spiritual vision?
Well, I think that just is part of who we are as a Trinitarian, group. We ask the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I think through the gift of the Holy Spirit, when we unpack all those gifts that we've been given, it will take us slowly towards the Father. I can't help but think that, I was helped greatly through the sacrament of confession, and I couldn't imagine how my life would be the same without that great sacrament. So it was just a holy priest who advised me, the more regularity of receiving confession every couple weeks. And it was through that holy priest who said, the Holy Spirit will come to you and come to you more greatly and fully through the sacrament of confession. So I'm so big on that, receiving that grace and that opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit. Every time we receive confession more clearly, we'll be able to see ourselves more clearly, understand our duties and our state in life more clearly, and to love Jesus more clearly. I can't help but pass that along.
Well, Dr. Conti, it's been a joy to be reconnected with you. It's been a long time. So much appreciate you being with us. A big shout out to your wife, Francesca, on her birthday today.
Thank you, John. I look forward to meeting you again in person one day.
God bless. Absolutely. Hopefully soon. Dr. Thomas Conti, board-certified ophthalmologist and fellowship-trained oculoplastic surgeon in the Chicago area. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Father Tom Mulcrone, the chaplain to St. Mary of Providence Parish and the former chaplain to the Chicago Fire Department for over 30 years, he'll be with us to discuss the ministry to firefighters. Stay with us on this Monday edition of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day, this is Morning Air.
When I say yes, Lord,
yes,
yes, Lord.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Gabby, who's in for Sarah this morning. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Monday morning in the seventh and the final week of Easter as we get ready for Pentecost Sunday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from John 15:11. Jesus the Lord says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Our Lord Jesus Christ promises that we can have his joy by keeping God's commandments as Jesus kept the Father's commandments. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and is the only way to true happiness and joy. It's been said that joy is the infallible sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So full of the fruit of joy, we can say, Jesus is Lord. And we always pray with great confidence, that prayer from the Chapel of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation this morning, 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Now, this morning, we're going to talk about some of America's true heroes. Firefighters and paramedics take care of us, of all of us, especially when we are in danger, especially in high-risk situations. But who takes care of them? Who takes care of them spiritually? Listen to this short video by the Chicago Blackhawks of the NHL called Everyday Hero, Father Tom Mulcrone.
Firefighters and paramedics they're a wonderful lot. They're special people who do special work. They're really a noble breed. My name is Father Tom Mulcrone. I'm the chaplain to the Chicago Fire Department. I was an associate pastor at a parish on the northwest side where there were a number of firefighters and paramedics, and became associated with them. And the then chaplain of the fire department was looking for an assistant, so he asked me, and when he retired in 1987, I became the full-time chaplain. A typical day is not typical. The chaplain for the fire department is there to assist firefighters, paramedics, and their families, especially in times of crisis. I visit people in hospitals, I perform various services, baptisms, weddings, funerals, and I respond to large fires and unusual incidents to be there just in case something happens.
And joining us
live, firefighters and paramedics are
joining us live from the Chicago area is Father Tom Mulcrone, the former chaplain for the Chicago Fire Department for 30 years, to share about his role of spiritually taking care of firefighters and first responders. Father Tom is the chaplain of St. Mary of Providence Home, which is a residential facility and day training center for over 150 mentally challenged and developmentally disabled young people. Good morning, Father Tom. Thanks so much for joining us. It is a joy to be with you for the first time here on Morning Air and Relevant Radio.
Good morning, John. Thank you.
Father Tom, let's go back to your beginnings. You're one of eight children. You also have a brother who is a priest, Father Joe Mulcrone. When did you first realize that you had a vocation to the priesthood?
Well, it was obviously a process. I had an uncle who also was a priest in the Springfield Diocese. And, of course, his presence at family events and at different things always struck me as wonderful. He was a delightful, happy priest, and I was lucky to grow up in a parish, Resurrection Parish, on the west side of Chicago, where in those days, of course, there were seven priests living in the rectory. So you saw priests and you experienced them. They were in the classrooms in the school. They were out in the lot when we had recess. They were there at the beginning of the school day, there at the end of the school day. And so that, along with the fact that my parents were very, very devout Catholics and exposed us to the possibility of a call. So I think it was about sixth grade that it began to strike me that this is something I might want to do.
And Father Tom, what would you say the key was when you finally did say yes to the Lord?
Well, again, everything being a process, I kept hedging my bets throughout the time of discernment through grammar school, high school, college. I think I finally said yes to the Lord right at the end of college when I was on that ledge about, do I go on to the major seminary or don't I? And it was a period of prayer and discernment that finally said, yes, this is definitely what I want to do.
And your father was a longtime police officer. He was actually a lieutenant in the Chicago Police Department. What was his thoughts when he realized that you were going to become a priest?
Oh, he was very happy, obviously, and very supportive. In fact, he was in the seminary at one point during his college years, and he had explored the possibility of a vocation to the priesthood himself. So both he and my mother were very happy and very, very supportive.
Well, Father Tom, you obviously served as chaplain for the Chicago Fire Department for a long time, for 30 years. Can you tell us how you first got involved with this ministry to firefighters and first responders?
When I after I was ordained, I was assigned to a parish on the northwest side of Chicago. And it was a blue-collar, middle-class parish, working neighborhood. In Chicago, we call it the Bungalow Belt. And just good, solid people. And many of them were public servants, firefighters, paramedics, police officers. Many of them were teachers, nurses, construction workers, trade unionists. And having met and gotten to know some firefighters along the way, I just became friendly with them, and they became friendly with me. And I was invited to a few fire department events because of them, and that's where I met Father Matt McDonald, who was my predecessor. And that's how this all came about, because in 1981, he needed an assistant. The assistant he had left, had retired. And so he turned to me and asked me if I'd be interested, and I said yes, and the rest is history.
Obviously, you've worked with so many firefighters over the years. Can you share with us from your perspective as a longtime chaplain, what makes firefighters and paramedics and all first responders such special human beings?
Well, psychologists and social scientists identify what they call the caretaker personality. And this seems to be very common, if not predominant, in many public servants, such as firefighters, paramedics, and police officers. There is a real drive to take care of others, protect and serve, as sometimes the banner of a police car will say. It's a drive that is, I think, more than psychological. I believe it's very spiritual, that there is this subconscious sense that they are taking care of God's children, and this is their task on earth. And many of them will tell you, you know, I think God chose me for this. I think God wants me to do this. I think this is what I do. And really, to get through some of the days that they have, they would have to have that trust and that belief in God.
We're joined this morning by Father Tom Mulcrone, the former chaplain to the Chicago Fire Department for over 30 years and currently the chaplain of St. Mary of Providence Parish in Chicago. Father Tom, when I think of real heroes, I think of the firefighters and the police officers and all the first responders who went to the towers on 9/11. That image is so strong. That's just an example, and I know that happened in New York City, but it's a reminder for all of us of the true heroic nature of so many firefighters and first responders.
Yeah, one of the expressions that firefighters will laugh about a lot is, you know, they're running into the building while the rats are running out. And, you know, they run toward danger. They run toward evil. They run toward chaos. And their only goal is to try to mitigate that and try to make it better for everybody.
No question about it. What was your typical day like, you know, as a chaplain to the Chicago Fire Department?
Well, I'd get up, you know, in the morning. I'd have mass, obviously, and after mass, I usually, I read the paper, and everybody kids me because one of the things in the Irish sports page, I read the death notices, and because typically on any day I'd have at least one wake to go to. And, but I get in the car and I would head out. There were people to visit in the hospitals. I would visit firehouses or fire department installations, visit people convalescing at home. There were meetings to attend. There were you know, different activities. And but as that Blackhawks tape said, no day was typical, because in the middle of it, something could happen: a fire, an injured firefighter, reports of multiple people injured in an event, and I was on the response to that. And so it was always a busy day. There were always lots of things to do.
You obviously responded to many extra alarm fires. Any idea just how many over all those years?
Well, it's over 1,500. I kept a journal. Every firehouse, there's a journal. It's a handwritten ledger of all the things that the fire companies do during the day. Even though everything is recorded on a computer now, still, traditionally, they keep the journal. And I also kept a journal. So I have 6 very full journals locked up here, recording everything that I did for 30 years.
That is absolutely amazing. Is there any one experience maybe you might want to share with us here this morning from that journal?
Oh, there's so many, but probably the one that stands out the most for me was in 1993. We had a fire at a single room occupancy hotel. They're called SROs. And for many people who live in these hotels, it's the last step before homelessness. And we had 20 dead at this fire, 20 of the residents dead. And there were incredible heroic rescues made. It could have been so much worse. But besides having to anoint 20 bodies, it was the days after counseling and consoling and just being present to the firefighters who responded to the fire.
It had to be just an unbelievably difficult situation for you as a chaplain to see so many people perish on the end that day. And on the other hand, to see the heroic rescues unfold before your very eyes.
Oh, yeah. I was there. I lived that time at Notre Dame Parish, so I lived 15 minutes away, and I was on my way home when the first companies arrived, and I could tell the captain of Tower Letter 10, I could tell by his voice something was horribly wrong. So I was there very quickly and watched it all unfold as, people fled the building, people jumped out windows, firemen were pulling people out of windows. And it was horrible. That's all I can say. But it was also a moment of grace. We would find a body in the rubble, and the firefighters and the paramedics were great. You know, we'd stop, take off the helmets, say a prayer. I'd anoint them, and they would remove the body and give dignity to the person who had died.
Father Tom, I want to invite our listeners who are with us this morning. If you want to be part of our conversation on firefighters and paramedics and why first responders are so special, with Father Tom Mulcrone, a former chaplain for the Chicago Fire Department, we are taking your calls at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our discussion with Father Tom. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air on the other side.
The most significant memory I have is the Paxton Hotel fire. It was a horrific fire, and so many of the firefighters and paramedics had a really difficult time with it after it was over. So being able to be a support on the scene and even after the fact was very, very memorable. We had a fire out on the south side. One of the chiefs, who's a good friend of mine, was there, but there's a famous picture of me kissing him on the helmet for me, it sums it up. But that's the relationship I have with these people and that they have with me. That we're just blessed by the friendship and the camaraderie we share. Now, after so many years, it's extremely friendly. They know me, I know them. They know they can reach out to me anytime, any place. And I've made hundreds, if not thousands, of friends because of these 30 years. To be able to minister to them has been an incredible blessing.
And that was a portion of a short video by the Chicago Blackhawks of the National Hockey League called Everyday Hero, Father Tom Mulcrone. And welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us as we continue our conversation live this morning with Father Tom Mulcrone, the longtime chaplain of the Chicago Fire Department for 30 years and the current chaplain to St. Mary of Providence in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Welcome back, Father Tom.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
I got to tell you that that video that was put together by the Blackhawks was so moving and so powerful. It's why I wanted to share with our listeners this morning portions of it.
I was laughing, thinking, well, geez, how do you do video over the radio? But it was a quite an honor, and they really did a phenomenal job with it.
And obviously, in that last excerpt, we were hearing you reminiscing on that horrible Paxton fire back in 1993, which we talked about in the last segment. But you also responded to over 1,900 special duty calls. Can you explain what those were?
Those would be any incidents that had a response of more than five ambulances. That would be bad accident, you know, horrible accidents with injuries. It would be injured firemen, sick firemen. It would be family members who were transported to the hospital. So the Office of Emergency Management and Communications would notify me anytime a firefighter, paramedic, or a family member was transported to a hospital.
And, you know, it's a reminder that on any given day when a firefighter leaves his home to go to work, you never know if they're going to come back.
Exactly. Exactly. And we tell the candidate firefighters who are in training to become firefighters, I spend a lot of time at the academy talking about that very fact, that when they leave in the morning for the firehouse, whatever occurred the night before, whatever occurred the day before, they have to put that behind them. They have to ask forgiveness or forgive, and they have to leave loving the person they're with.
What was the most difficult thing that you did over those 30 years as your role as a chaplain to the Chicago Fire Department?
Well, it wasn't one thing, but any time I had to notify a family that their husband or wife or father or mother died in the performance of duty, the line of duty deaths, I had to do that 24 times. And most often it was in the middle of the night where you had to stir them from sleep. Usually there were kids involved and having to try to explain to young children that their loved one had died in a fire was the most difficult things I've ever done.
And I can just imagine also being present at the funeral mass and having to address the family would be right up there as well.
Yes, in most cases, I ended up presiding at the funerals. Yes, so preaching, it's very hard because you're preaching to two families. You're preaching to the firefighter or the paramedic's biological family, but you're preaching to his fire department family or her fire department family, and they're hurting just as much.
Maureen is joining us this morning from Maine. Good morning, Maureen. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Father Tom Mulcrone.
Hi there. How are you? I had a story, a personal story that I wanted to share just quickly. A few years ago, well, actually more like 7 years ago in Worcester, Massachusetts, there was a tragic, tragic fire. And Worcester's kind of a city in Western Massachusetts. So it's really kind of a rough area. And this tragic fire took the lives of several firefighters. It was either four or six firefighters, and it was devastating, and it rocked the entire state of Massachusetts, especially in Boston, which is a bigger city. And on the day of the funeral for these firefighters, it was either four or six, I don't remember which, it was just devastating. There was funeral, everyone, you know, first responders from across the state were there, and up in the sky, after the funeral, you could see the silhouette of these six or four firefighters in like they were angels going up to heaven. And it was like a miracle. And everybody was so moved. Even people who weren't Christian could see this. And they thought, oh, my gosh. Wow. It was just so powerful.
Yeah, it was six firefighters that they died in a factory fire. I was at the funeral in Worcester for that.
Unbelievable. Wow. So it was so powerful.
Yeah. I'm chaplain. I'm also a chaplain for the International Association of Firefighters, which is the 325,000 unionized firefighters and medics throughout the United States and Canada.
Well, Maureen, I really appreciate your call. Father Time, you talk about providential, the fact that you were actually there that day. That is amazing.
Well, I was there for the funeral, the day of the funeral. You know, just a sign of respect and honor when six brothers fall like that, you can't help but be moved and want to show your respect to them and to their families and to their fire department.
Father Tom, can you give us your blessing here this morning to our Relevant Radio family?
Well, my favorite blessing is actually taken from an old sorrowful mother, Novena, and it is this: may the Lord be above you to inspire you and beneath you to support you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, be behind to protect you, and alongside to be with you throughout all your days. And may Almighty God bless all of you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Tom, thank you so much for being with us. It's been a joy. Really appreciate it. Many blessings to you.
Thank you, John. Thank you for the opportunity to be on the radio with you.
God bless you. Father Tom Mulcrone, the former chaplain for the Chicago Fire Department. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called What is Love? By Steve Goodyear. Diane Ackerman said, everyone admits that love is wonderful and necessary, yet no one agrees on just what it is. Over the years, I've been learning what it is. When I first got married, I wanted to show my love to my new wife. I was drawn to romantic stories, like the one from the time of Oliver Cromwell in England, where a young soldier had been tried in a military court and sentenced to death. He was to be shot at the ringing of the curfew bell. His fiancée climbed into the bell tower several hours before curfew time and tied herself to the bell's huge clapper. At curfew time, when only muted sounds came out of the bell tower, Cromwell demanded to know why the bell was not ringing. His soldiers went to investigate and found the young woman cut and bleeding from being knocked back and forth against the great bell. They brought her down, and as the story goes, Cromwell was so impressed with her willingness to suffer in this way on behalf of someone she loved that he dismissed the soldiers, saying, "Curfew shall not ring tonight." That must be love. I thought, wow, that's the kind of commitment I needed to make. I wanted to give my all, to tie myself to the bell for her, to die if necessary for her, to sacrifice myself on the altar of true love. I wanted her to know that I'd give it all up for her. She never wanted me to die for her, never. Clean the toilets maybe, but never die. My commitment was to be shown in household chores. I read that an exhaustive study showed that no woman ever shot her husband while he was doing dishes. What a relief. Washing dishes may lack inspiration, but it says, I love you better than roses. I was never called upon to tie myself to the bell, but I was still called upon to show my love, in little ways mostly. I was needed to comfort her. Before we were married, when the doctor told her that she could never have children, to hold her hand and tell her I wanted her more than I wanted a family. I was called upon to sit by her hospital bed after surgery and encourage her. I was called upon to hold her after her father died and let her cry. I was also called upon to carve out alone time with her as often as possible and to make sure my plans included her as well as me. I was never needed to prove my undying love through a glorious act of self-sacrifice. It was something I was required to do in little ways, through one small act of kindness at a time. And that I learned is love. John 15:13, greater love is no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Really appreciate it. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, will join us to talk about the reality of sin. Plus, Dr. Bill Donahue, the president of the Catholic League, will be with us to discuss the L.A. Dodgers pulling their invitation to an anti-Catholic drag group and to tell us about his new book, The War on Virtue, How the Ruling Class is Killing the American Dream. Stay with us. We are just warming up this morning. There's much more to come in the final hour of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.